For our last reading, please just try to imagine replacing the phrase "the Word" with Jesus.
God became a human being. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Great. Well, thank you, Ken, for reading that. And a big thank you to everyone who's taken part in this evening's carol service. Thank you so much, Berylyn's Bells. You're sounding great. I'm sure you're getting bigger in number, aren't you? There's just more and more of you. It's taking longer and longer to get you up here. Next year, maybe we need to put your pieces together or something like that. And if you get any bigger, we might have to put an extension out that way as well. But thank you very much for singing. Thank you to our choir as well, from Emmanuel, and for musicians and readers, and Phil as well for leading. It is wonderful, isn't it, to get together. It's just such a wonderfully Christmassy, magical thing to do, to have a carol service. I love it, and I hope you're feeling really topped up on the Christmas-o-meter. If you're not quite yet, you've got one more carol to go, which should really push you over the edge. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's a wonderful one, isn't it, to sing? So we've got to give it some gusto, and that will just top you off with Christmas spirit. But it's a very magical time of year, isn't it? In my childhood, we would go to pantomimes every year, and I was both thrilled by it but also terrified about going, because you had the goodies and then you had inevitably the baddie, the evil one, and I was just gripped by it all. It was just so magical. And at this time of year, it used to be, you used to get sort of the Harry Potter films maybe would come out at this time of year. Or this year, the Star Wars film set in a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Hands up if you've already been to see it. Anyone been to see it? A few people. Okay, not that many. Maybe not that many Star Wars fans in, but I'm sure many others will go in due course. It's a kind of magical time of year. But I want you to see that the most magical thing of this time of year is what we've heard about this evening, what we've sung about. And it's sort of captured for us in the last verse that Ken read. If you want to follow it, have a look on your orders of service. Ken just read it. It's John chapter 1 and verse 14, that last verse, which says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." We're going to think about a couple of things to do with that, just a couple of things. The first is this: the Word became flesh. There was a YouGov poll a couple of years ago in 2015, which said that while most people, of course, don't go to organised religion, don't go to church or to a mosque, most people don't, and yet the vast majority of people think there is something out there. Something. Maybe it's a god, maybe it's a higher power, whatever it is, most people think there is something out there. Maybe that's true of you too. You would say, well, I'm pretty sure there's something out there. But if you were asked, what is that thing? Most people would say, well, we don't know. I don't know what that being is, that force, that higher power. I don't know what it is. Generally, we don't think about it, do we, too much? You see, it's almost as if between us and that higher power, whatever it is, there is a curtain drawn. It's almost as if, you see, there's a curtain drawn that there's us and there's, well, God or that higher being, that higher power. And it's almost as if we would go, well, we can't know what's behind that curtain. We can't know what there is. You see, some people will say, maybe some people over here might say, well, I think beyond there, beyond the curtain, there's a God. And it's a God of love. But maybe there are others who over there might say, well, you know what, I think it's just a force. It's a power. It's a being. But it's not a God. And maybe others over there might say, well, you know what, I think maybe there are many gods behind the curtain. But of course, sorry, just get rid of this. But of course, how can we know? We can't know, can we? Because, well, we're this side of the curtain. And therefore, of course, we can't say, well, one group can't say, well, you guys are wrong, or you guys here are wrong, because, well, we just don't know, do we? But this is the magic of Christmas. The Word became flesh. Why does John use the word, the Word? Well, the Word, your words, they are the clearest means that you have for expressing yourself, for revealing yourself, for saying who you are. I wonder if you've ever done this, maybe on the train. If you go to work day by day on the train, maybe you get a bit bored, or on the bus going to school or whatever, you get a bit bored and you look around and you think, you know what, I'm going to try and guess what people are like on the bus. And there are some easy things you can do, aren't there? It's a bit sort of Sherlock Holmes. You've watched Sherlock Holmes maybe and you think, I will do the art of deduction. And so you sit there on the train, you look across and you go, ha, I guess that person's married because they got a wedding ring. Okay, nice one, Sherlock. Or I think that person's male. Yeah. Okay, those are the easy ones. Then you start getting more inventive because you've got a bit bored. And you start going, well, you know what? That person's got dirt on their shoe and they ran for the train. So maybe they are a spy. And they were running away from their enemy agents and they've got with them briefing papers, top secret briefing papers about Brexit. Or something more exciting. But of course, if you really wanted to find out what that person is like, you just got to sit with them and talk to them. If they speak, they reveal themselves, don't they? They reveal what they're like. The Word became flesh. God showed us exactly what he was like. He spoke. But do you see, John is saying the Word became flesh. He came to us as a person. God wanted to show us exactly what it's like. It's as if, you see, God has, as it were, come through the curtain. It's as if God himself is saying, I want to speak to you. If you can't see, you can have a look round someone else's shoulders. You see, God's saying, I want to speak. I want to tell you exactly what I'm like. And so God came himself, his word, as a person, and saying, I want you to know what I'm like. You don't have to guess anymore. You don't have to guess what I'm like. I'm going to show you what I'm like. Everything God wants you to know about himself was in a person, Jesus. Now, some say, you know what, I'm not going to believe unless you give me a watertight argument for the existence of God. Well, now, philosophers will say, you know what, that's not particularly possible, because actually it's not possible to actually give a watertight argument for the existence of anything. You can't even give a watertight argument for the existence of yourself, they would say. But actually, more important than that, that's not what God gave us. He didn't give us a watertight argument for the existence of himself. He gave us a person. Which isn't anti-rational. It's not sort of saying, oh, forget it, just throw your brain away. It's actually quite the opposite. It's saying, no, use your brain and investigate the person who came, who was born in Bethlehem, who was laid in a manger. Investigate that person, because that person is the Word become flesh. Okay, so what was the Word made flesh like? What was his life like? Well, we keep reading in the verse, don't we? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory. We've seen his glory. There have been several celebrities who've died over the last year, sadly. One of them, Johnny Hallyday, rock star. His wife said of him this, as a tribute to him. She said, "He left us tonight as he lived his whole life, with courage and dignity." Or Malcolm Young, guitarist for AC/DC, this was said of him. "From the outset, he knew what he wanted to achieve, and along with his younger brother, took the world stage, giving their all at every show. Nothing less would do for their fans." What does someone say about Jesus after his death? What's the tribute that they give? What does John say about Jesus? He says, "I've seen his glory." I don't know anyone else that would say that about someone else after they've died. "I've seen his glory." And when he says that, he's meaning the glory of God. John's saying, "I saw him. I followed him. I was with him. I saw his glory." Now, that glory was not a physical beauty. It wasn't that he was more stunning than anyone else. No, it's to do with his character, wasn't it? That's what John says in the verse, isn't it? "We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Grace and truth, that's what his life was like. He didn't stay a baby. He grew up and he was a man and he was full of grace and truth. Now, generally, with people that we meet and get to know, people are generally one of two things, aren't they? They're either truth people or grace people. Truth people, well, they'll tell you things as they really are. They may not do it very gently, but they'll say it how it is. They're the kind of Craig Revel Horwoods, aren't they? And then you've got the grace people, the people who, they're very loving, very gentle, very kind, but maybe they don't really tell you things how they really are. Now, you want the grace people around you on Christmas Day at the dinner table, but they're not so good at telling you how good your dancing was. Now, you have truth people and grace people. But Jesus, John says, this is his glory. He was both. He was full of grace and truth. Not a balance of the two, but full of both. So he was full of truth. He confronted people. He confronted the self-righteous religious people of his day. He exposed their hypocrisy. Papers today love it, don't they, when they can expose what's going on in celebrities' private lives, when they can take a politician and expose what's really going on in their lives. And we read them, and I wonder how you'd feel when you read those things. Often, actually, I think we can feel uncomfortable. Because what if, actually, that happened to us? What if your life, what if my life was put on the front pages of newspapers? What if the most private thing that you've ever done that you're ashamed of was put in the newspaper for the whole nation to see? We'd be very embarrassed. Because, you see, what we read about in the first reading of Genesis 3 shows that actually in every one of our hearts there is darkness. We've all turned away from God, and we all have things in our hearts that we're ashamed of. But Jesus was full of grace. Not just truth, but grace as well. There was a woman who was brought to Jesus who'd been caught having an adulterous affair. And the woman was brought to Jesus. You read on in John and you read about this woman. And back then, the penalty for that was being stoned. And Jesus with this woman, well, he didn't condone what she did. He didn't say, oh, that doesn't matter, that's all right, just carry on. No, he said, go and sin no more. So he was bothered by it, but he didn't condemn her. He was full of truth and grace, like no one has ever been before or since. And of course, the ultimate grace and truth. For the ultimate grace and truth in Jesus' life, you've got to look not at the manger, you've got to look beyond the manger. You've got to lift your eyes to the cross. That is the ultimate place of grace and truth. You see, the cross, Jesus' death when he died, that proclaims to us the truth. The truth that actually that is what we deserve for the darkness in our hearts. You see, there is a chasm between us and God. You know, don't you, if someone does something bad to you, and I don't mean something little bad, something big bad to you, you know that there is a breakdown in that relationship. And them just saying sorry isn't really enough. Something's got to happen. It's got to be fixed. Well, if that's true between us and another person, that's even more so between us and God. There is a chasm between us. And the cross says there really, really is. That's the brutal truth. But it's also the place of grace, isn't it? That Jesus would go to the cross as the means of our forgiveness, that all our darkness, all our blackness, all our sin, our evil thoughts and words and deeds could be put on him, that he would die there for us out of love for you and me, that our wrongdoing could be dealt with and that we could have a relationship again with God. It's wonderful that Jesus came to restore that relationship that we so desperately need with God. He loves us that much. What's the magic of Christmas? The magic of Christmas is this. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, I wonder what you're going to do about what you've heard, what you've sung about, what you've read, what you've heard this evening. Well, I thought Betty put it really well on the video of suggestions of things to do. Keep coming along to Emmanuel. We'd love to see you here. Bring your questions, bring your objections. We'd love to talk about them and find out more about Jesus. Keep reading a gospel. Do you remember Betty said keep reading a gospel? Now, I've got good news for you, very good news for you. Would you look under your seat? You've got a present under your seat. It's a present, it's a book. Would you look under your seat and get it out? Because we don't want to have these left on the floor at the end. That would be a real waste of a load of presents, wouldn't it? It's this book, and it says John on the front. Now, don't take that's who the book belongs to. That's not who the present is for. The book is John's Gospel, isn't it? It's John's Gospel from the New Testament. It is a gift from us to you. We would love you to take it away. And you can read on. You see, what I've just described is just the introduction to Jesus's biography. And what a great introduction it is. Doesn't that make you want to think, you know what, I really should read more about this guy that someone thought he himself showed the glory of God. That would be a great book to read. So would you take that away with you? Take that John's Gospel away. Put it in your bag now if you want. Fellas, put it up your jumper or something like that. But take that away with you. And would you have a read of that? To find out more about Jesus. Like I say, do keep coming along to Emmanuel as well. And we're also going to run our Life Explored course. If you'd like to come on that in the new year, we'd love to have you come and join us on that course to find out more. If you'd like to find out more, do fill out a response card. They're by the doors as you leave. You can just fill one of them out and give it to one of us. and we'll know that you'd like to come on one of our courses. We'd love you to be on there. Well, I do hope, however you celebrate Christmas this year, that it will be very magical for you, whether that's going to a pantomime or going to see the Star Wars film. But mostly, I pray for you that actually the magic of Christmas would really be about the Word become flesh. We're going to stand and sing our final carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.